What's that?
Don't holler too loud.
I know. I'm sorry. You know me. It was such a thing, having all of that and just the tenderness and the love that you can feel from the Lord. And when I was preparing for the message for today, just the overwhelming love that God has for us, the overwhelming love, and what He's done, and the amazing grace, just really can minister to you. How many of you really you felt a touch from God?
Oh, yes.
You know, we know things. We've come to Christ, many of us, for numbers of years, and you kind of settle in sometimes to I know that. Yeah, I know Jesus loves me. I know He died for my sins, and sometimes just the familiarity that you have with the Lord and His Word sometimes calcifies our emotions for the Lord and the things of God. And I just felt so thankful today, just so thankful that God is who He is. That He's not a God of revenge. He's not a God who's hard and can't forgive. You know how important that is? That the God of the universe is who He is. You know, and I'm just so thankful that He's done what He's done. And I pray that all of this that God has done that brings us salvation will really can be something that motivates and energizes us to go to the very heart of where the Lord is. And I want to go through some things today with you. I think I'm going to start with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Whoops. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What we've been sensing, feeling, listening to in the words that have come through the songs and just through the whole thing of I thought this was really interesting, right? You know, the Lord put that on your heart to have people come up. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, we're going to start. There is no other foundation that man can lay than that which is already laid, Christ Jesus. So Jesus is this great spiritual foundation. We come to a saving knowledge of Him, right? And salvation is so beautiful. And we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart, like Reggie mentioned. And that is what it takes. A true, honest knowing that we're sinners. We need that God still loves us. That He gave His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. That He takes those sins and wipes it away with His blood. What a wonderful God that we have,
yes.
Right? And that's the foundation for us. To begin to walk in this kingdom of God, right? Yeah. I'm wanting participation here, and you've got to give it to me. And even if you're pensive and you're really thinking a lot about what's already happened or what's what's going on while I'm speaking, I want you to engage your body by amening, by putting your hand up in the air, do something so that it's not just your mind that's engaged with the listening to the words, okay? Yeah, we're going to do that, right? We're going to do that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. If you go to a sporting event where your kid is playing, okay, really, I mean, you think about this, and some great play happens during the game, how many people jump up out of their seats, you know, in the stadium or whatever, you jump, yes! You know, way to go! Good play! Or whatever, you know? We do that in our living rooms, watching the Pats.
That's right.
or the Sox. Right? Is that right, Steve?
Yeah.
You do that. I've seen you. There's emotion that's involved. There's, being a Christian, I hope we have some emotion for him. You know? And so it's important that body, soul, and spirit, you know, the more intense that you are, the more that your whole being becomes involved. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That's right.
And Jesus is the foundation of our salvation. It's only through him. It's not any works that we do, lest we should boast. Right?
Right.
Yes?
Yes.
And we still sometimes want to come back and lay it on ourselves that salvation is determined by what we do, and it is not. God so loved the world that he did what he did. That is the foundation, that we don't earn our way to heaven.
Right.
The foundation is what he's done, not what we do.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Now, once we understand that, there's something that we really need to be careful about. And here it is. And I hope that our love for Jesus and what he's done for us propels us in a greater way to live for him.
Yes.
To live for him. Now, this is what it says. Verse 11 says, there's no other foundation that any man can lay than that which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. So, there's a carefulness. This isn't just Jesus did it all, now I'm just kind of walking along, making my own choices, doing my own thing, and not be serious about it. Right? You've gained salvation because of a loving God. And now, to continue with him, because he deserves this. Right?
Yeah.
We want to be careful the way we live. We want to invest in the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. We want to invest in the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporary of this earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You say amen to that, and the Lord's going to hold you to that. So are you sure you want to say amen?
Amen.
What's that name mean?
So be it.
So be it. So be it in your life. So be it in my life that I am going to live more for Jesus because of what he's done for me. Right?
Right.
He first loved us.
Yes.
And now he wants us to love him. No matter what's going on in our life, just give me Jesus. Give me all that life that he has there for me. The life that he has prepared for you and I, that we can actually live it. That we can actually walk in it.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. That's his heart's desire, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we no longer live for ourselves. That we no longer are so self-focused and concerned and get tripped up over the dumbest little temptations and thoughts. And I stand before you, I'm so sick of myself. I am. This isn't some little thing I'm trying to do in a sermon. I mean this. I'm tired of the way I keep getting tripped up in areas of my life. I'm tired of that. And God allows that to happen, so I finally say, God, I can't do this without you. And I know, but I do know that with you I can do it. Isn't that right? It's time to really begin to push out there, because we are coming to the end of the age. There is the greater darkness needs the greater light, and we only walk have the light that we walk in. It's not what we know, it's what we're walking in that makes the difference. Right?
Right.
We can come to church and we can amen all kinds of things that we know is true and go out those doors and not live it.
That's right.
So, we don't want to fool ourselves. And we want to have that greater commitment. We don't want to just be believers. We want to be disciples. Somebody gets disciplined by holding on to Christ, and when thoughts come in, we cut those thoughts off that don't belong. Yes?
Yes.
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 That's what we want. That's what, why? Because that's what God wants. God wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Let's not be playing around. Let's at least let this be at least another small step, if not a large step, that brings us closer to what he wants out of us. Right?
Yeah. I think God as a whole, for this country, wants us to be pursuers of God more than pursuers of pleasure.
Yes.
Where in this country, we're pursuers of pleasure way too much.
Yes.
And pursuing God.
Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
And that's what leads us to sin. It's always pursuing pleasure. What makes us feel good? How it's going to make us happy?
What makes
true
us feel good? What
true
makes
happiness
us look good?
Comes from God.
Yes.
When you break all that stuff, that's where the happiness comes in.
Okay. Now I'm gonna go on here in verse 13. Every man's work will be made manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Oh, yeah. And the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide that he's built thereupon, building on Christ, right? He will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So, salvation isn't about works, but works has reward. Isn't that so?
Yes.
It doesn't change our salvation, but there is something more to life than the one-time commitment that you make to Jesus. And we need, and we have constant reminders that maybe we're starting to slide in a different direction than we need to in our heart. Yeah? Make some pretty bad decisions at times. Yeah? So this is what this is talking about. Thank God that we're still saved even when we stumble and fall. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Right.
Is there a hallelujah there? Is there something more than, you know, in our hearts? Grab a hold of this. This is good for us. This makes us say, thank you, God, that when I do fall, that you're there to pick me up, and that you will forgive me if I ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
He's a good, good God. And he deserves more than what we usually give him. Don't you think?
Yes.
Boy, some of the songs that we sang were right on the money for somebody said no.
Can I just read? I have the New Living Translation.
Sure.
And this is, like 12 through 15. And it says, anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. Gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 7. There are choices that we make in life, and choices are there because love requires choice. Yeah?
Yes.
You make a choice to love someone. Don't you?
Yes.
You make a commitment in marriage for someone. You make a choice. I love that person. Now, maybe there's some eros involved at the beginning. You know, there's that physical attraction. That, you know, oh, what a pretty face. You know, whatever it happens to be, and there's an attraction that takes place. But for you to really love someone, you're making a commitment. You're making a commitment to that person, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're choosing to love that person. You're choosing to forgive them when they mess up or hurt your feelings. Yeah, you decide that that's where you're going to go. And of course, it isn't just a smooth ride. But you do it. You make a commitment to do that. It's a choice. Love is a choice. And God, therefore, needs you and I to make choices in life so that we actually truly love Him.
Yes.
That we're not robots. That He hasn't pre-programmed us. That we have no choice, but we're just going to love Him because He's programmed us that way. That's not love. That's just being a robot. And God doesn't want robots. He wants people that have come to Him, realized who they are, that they need what He's done to become saved, to live with Him forever, and then continue to make choices that are in His will, not their own. Yeah?
Yes.
This is the gospel, isn't it? Now I'm going to go beyond here, talking about the gospel of salvation. Because there's another part of the entire gospel, and you've heard four messages on this, about the gospel of the kingdom. There's the gospel of the kingdom, there's the gospel of salvation, and altogether that is the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus. Well, what is this gospel of the kingdom? Well, we're going to look at this from a side view, okay? This is what it says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to ruin, and there are many that go therein. Now, I want to explain something here right off at the beginning. This is not talking about the narrow way, and that's salvation, and then the broad way are the people that are unbelievers and they're going to hell. No. This whole thing is talking about choices and your works, your actions. This whole section of scripture. This is talking about people who do have a relationship with Christ, but take the easy, broad way. They've accepted Christ in their life, but they're not going anywhere. Because they allow the temptations, they allow those things, they give in to the fact, I'm not strong enough to get through that particular thing. No. There are people that are, because of the power that Christ has, and they understand it, they're gonna walk on with God. They're gonna take the narrow road. You getting this? And maybe you haven't heard it this way before. Maybe you think this is just those that are going to go to hell. But I'll tell you that word destruction, lots of times people think, well, that means you're damned. That means you're going to go to hell. No, that isn't what it means. No, it means when you make bad choices, when you don't take that narrow road, which is listening to the Holy Spirit, being led by His Spirit and wanting to do His will and not your own. That's the narrow road. And when you don't do that, what happens? Aren't there a lot of Christians that even though they're Christian, their life can get ruined by the choices they make?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
That's the broad road. And there's a lot, it says a lot of people go that way. A lot of people. That's too bad, isn't it? God doesn't want us taking the broad road that leads to ruin. The way we, our attitude about people, our attitude about situations, the giving in to temptation. He doesn't want us going that broad road. Because he knows that the consequences of those wrong choices lead to ruin. He doesn't want, this loving God doesn't want us to be ruined. Doesn't want us to be destroyed. But that's what he's talking about here. Narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Well, that's not just talking about eternal life. That's talking about you. What happens when you come in here and you open up your heart to God? What's going on inside here? Boy, you are experiencing life.
Yes.
Aren't you? And you know the difference.
Yes.
That's the road. The road that leads to life is the road that's narrower because it requires us to say, you know what? I'm going to be more conscious about the way I live my life.
That's right.
I'm not going to just, when temptation comes my way, just be led into it. Now maybe I'll fall over. Maybe I'll stumble on the way, but I'm going to get back up because I know that God loves me. And I know that God will help me to turn around and get on the right road. That's the kind of God we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lots of people can become saved. But they're not building on the foundation very well. None of us in this room can say, I am so good at that. And there's no condemnation in the Lord speaking this to us right now. He's here to encourage us to choose life. Choose it. Of sin, don't let the hardness of life and not understanding what's going on in this world keep us from moving on stronger and trusting Him all the way through, right to the end.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, he says over in verse, let me see, 21 of that chapter, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. You go, oh my gosh, you mean I can become a Christian, but then not get into the kingdom of heaven? No, you know, the kingdom of heaven comes without observation. The kingdom of heaven comes from within. And you know what that requires? A king is required in a kingdom. And that means you can't experience the kingdom of God if you're not letting Jesus be your king.
That's right.
You can't experience it. It has nothing to do with salvation. It's talking about you as a disciple moving on with Christ. Isn't that something? God is there for us. You and I can't experience if we just say, well, Lord, you know, I believe in you. Well, you can't experience the kingdom of God now unless you're moving in obedience to Him. Yeah?
Yes.
I know, it's not a fluff word. I'm sorry. Listen to what it says. Because all of us, when we hear the word, we better be doers on it. Listen to what it says here. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descends, the floods come, and the winds blow and beat against that house, and it doesn't fall, for it's founded on the rock. Do you know what's ahead in this world over the next numbers of years? We I don't think we can even comprehend the changes that are about to happen. And economically, politically, militarily, we have, unless you've read a lot, you don't know. I don't know all the things that are going to be topsy-turvy, throw this world upside down for us.
Right.
And when the winds come and all of that, are we going to still be trusting God?
Yes.
You know? Verse 26 says, and everyone that hears these words of mine and doesn't do them will be likened unto a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That's ruin, isn't it? There's ruin there. Devastated, you know?
I'll tell you what the difference is here. Let me jump up to this verse here. I talked about treasure in earthen vessels last week.
And I'm going to go to that scripture again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I think I'm going to read what I read last week. And then I'm going to jump down to what I felt is applicable today. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord. The focus is not on the body of Christ. The focus is on Jesus, the foundation. It's
not about me.
It's not about me. It's not about what God's going to do for me.
Right.
He's got to do a lot of stuff for us, but that shouldn't be where our focus is. We don't preach. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus. Right? And then verse 7 was the verse I keyed in on last week. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And just the encouragement to know that you know, we can step out in God. And we can do many, many things because of the treasure that's in us. Let's not look at our own drawbacks. We can move out in faith, can't we? Because we have treasure inside of us.
Thank goodness.
I'm not going on until something happens here.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Yeah.
You know? Thank God.
Thank you.
All right, so now I'm going to get to the specific thing.
It's not about you, Mel.
No, it's not about me. Verse 8. I'll tell you, you can be a Christian and you can still get ruined. When I read these next two verses here, these are people that have taken the narrow way. We are troubled on every side. Oh, trouble happens to Christians? Trouble? Are you kidding me? I thought it was a bed of roses. No, there's trouble on every side. But notice what it says. Yet, we're not distressed. We're troubled, but we're not distressed. See, these are people that are walking the narrow road. The people that are walking the broad road, they're, you know, we can still be so caught up in our own fallacies and emotions and all of that, that we don't react the right way. Right?
Right.
We are perplexed. What is going on in this world? Why does my wife hide the ice cream? Why? You know, you can be perplexed. You can be perplexed about things.
As bad as it gets.
No. I don't want to get into how bad it can be. And I don't mean about my wife. I'm saying, oh, there's other things there. We can be perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but we know we're not forsaken. You know, some people, when persecution or things start happening, and you can look in Matthew 13 and see this, that when persecution comes or when there's a tribulation, that people back away. Right? Because they don't understand that. Why is God doing this to me? No. People still trust God. Right? Isn't that what's going on there? Persecuted, but you realize, I'm not forsaken. I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded.
Yes.
Right? I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
That's right.
We believe that. Right?
Yes.
And if you really believe that, then even though you might be persecuted in some way or perplexed in ways, you're not forsaken. Are you?
No.
God is always there.
Yes.
Cast down, but not destroyed. I think all of us have had cast down times in our life since we've become Christians. But we're not destroyed. We might come right down to the end of our rope, but something happens. That little, like you're saying, Chris, that little, tiny little piece of faith that still might be there, that little piece of the wick that's still hardly burning, but there's heat there. He's not going to blow it out. Is he?
No way.
Thank God that we have a God like that.
Yes.
Fear locks you up, Malcolm.
It does.
Fear locks you up and you can't move. And you can't believe this because fear is overcoming. Do not let fear do that.
That's right.
Move ahead through it. It's crap.
That's right.
Yes.
It's crap.
It is.
Fear needs to get gone so you can restore yourself by leaving on this.
Yeah, that's right.
And this alone.
Now, thank you. That is exactly right. Because I think fear is one of the bigger demons around.
Yeah.
You know. Matthew 13, I mentioned it. Matthew 13, verse I'm not going to say the verse yet. What's Matthew 13 about? It's the parable of what?
The sower.
The sower, right? It's the parable of the sower. Sower puts seed into the ground, and the Lord uses that picture to explain something. Okay? Lots of people look at that, again, as something to deal with salvation, when it's not about salvation. It's not about that. It's about people that that have the seed put in them, right? You understand this? You know what it is? It's a parable about the kingdom. It's the parable about how much we allow the king to be king in our life. This is what it says, verse 19, Matthew 13, 19. When anyone hears the what?
Word
of the what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom. It's not the word of salvation. It's the word of the kingdom, which means talking about Jesus being Lord of your life. Not just Savior of your life, but Lord of your life. Because and this needs to be preached, especially at the end of this age, because Jesus says that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world, and then the end will come. Well, I'm going to tell you that there's going to be more and more with pastors all around this world or people who understand this. There's going to be more things talked about the kingdom, Jesus being king in your life, the Lord of your life, and that it's going to be a truth. It's not just going to be a knowledge thing. You're asking him to really be Lord of your life, and not in some general way that gets you off the hook when he starts putting his finger on a particular area of your life. You're going to listen. I'm going to listen. We're real good at avoiding these.
Yes. Now, I think this is so awesome you're saying this, because so many people, when they first come to Christ, they're overjoyed.
Yes.
And go by myself, and you're so overjoyed, and the world is brighter. But you need to have that knowledge that you must make him the king of your life.
Yes. You have to, and that's not preached a lot over these I don't know numbers of years, at least lots of places. It's all about salvation, and who's going to argue with that? I mean, thank you God for salvation.
Yes, yes.
But people need to see that after you and when we become Christians, that there's more to it. That God wants for us, so that we don't get ruined. So that we consciously choose the narrow way, because that's the way that leads to life. The other way leads to ruin, to destruction. And many find that way because it's the easy way, isn't it? Okay. You know.
I know it's hard to fit into.
It is. So I'm not gonna spend the time to go down through this. You can read and you can read what it says here. But all kinds of things can happen to the seed that's put into your heart. Even if it's like a message today, what's gonna happen to that seed in your heart later on today? Tomorrow, next week, you know, it needs to be watered. It needs to be cultivated, doesn't it?
Yes.
You need to ask God to make it real, and you know, you have to make some choices there. You have to consciously say, you know, I don't want this to go by me. I don't want to be just a hearer of the word and not a doer, because that's a foolish person. Do you remember what I just said there in Matthew 7? He who hears my words but doesn't do them, I will liken unto a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. Because when bad things start happening, it's going to be a lot easier for them to walk away and go into ruin. Not lose their salvation, but be ruined. You know? Lose your head. Lose your mind.
lose your wealth, lose everything, you know? You can be ruined. So look at this and make some determinations, even if it's just to help yourself out. You know, I'm trying to get to the place where I'm saying, God, you deserve my full attention. So I want to do it because of your love for me. I want to love you back. But there's also that element of save my own hide. Yeah, there is. I'll admit that. I don't want it to be that way. But there's an aspect where I'm trying to not have to go through bad things. I'd rather live a better life, you know? And that's only going to come if I'm listening to him. If I'm walking the narrow way, not the broad way.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. Last scripture. And you all chuckle because you know it probably won't be. But so this is how I feel I'm supposed to end this today. Book of Jude.
Jude.
Yeah. It's the one right before Revelation. It says this. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, right? It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Oh, so we have this wonderful common salvation, but there's this aspect of the kingdom of God, Jesus as King and Lord of our life, that, you know what? You and I have to contend for it. It's not easy.
Right.
It's on that narrow road, not on the broad road. We have to contend.
Fight. Yes.
Which means fight. War, because all of the things of the flesh and the way the enemy... I'll tell you, I appreciated your prayer today, Melinda, because I have been bombarded by the enemy. Trying to rob me and steal joy out of my heart and numbers of other things that I don't even want to get into. And you all know what I'm talking about because I'm sure he's doing that to you too. You know? So it's important for us that we contend. And that sometimes that means first you got to come to a realization that the enemy's coming at your head. And once you understand that, you and I have to fight. Well, what's that mean? Well, that means, no. I said this out loud numerous times in my life. No, I'm not going to continue to think this way. No, I'm not going to give in to that feeling. No.
That's right.
I'm stopping this right here.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's contending for what you know is right. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
You have to do that.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You and I have to contend if we're going to go down that narrow road. It's going to be a fight. And you got to realize that there's going to be that fight. And you've got to be a person that says, I don't want that. No, you don't want that. You don't want to be that kind of person. You have to say, there has to be that thing that rises up in you and says, no, Jesus is worth everything that I can have. And I am going to have him. Because I love him more than I love all this other stuff of this life. What song was that?
Yes.
That was in a song.
Yes. Give me Jesus.
It's give me Jesus. Right?
That's right.
This is, and what's so wonderful is, Jesus, right now, through what you're hearing, you can grab a hold of this and say, this is what I want. I want you, Lord, to be Lord, really Lord of my life. And I know that I'm going to fall a number more times, but I'm by your grace and your strength, I'm going to keep getting up, and I'm going to keep contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Yes, amen?
Amen.
So that's what I pray, that for myself, for my family, for all of us that's in this congregation, that we are contenders for the faith. Amen?
Amen.
Because he's worthy of us contending. And he wants us to contend. And he loves us, and he has all these great things for us.
Yes.
And we can still just be mesmerized and asleep to the great things that God has prepared for us. Yeah? So God, we ask that this be real. So much more real to us. And Lord, we choose it. We choose this day, Lord. We choose life today. We choose you today. Lord, we ask that we decrease so that you can increase in our life. And we love you, God, and we desire to serve you. We thank you for your gentleness and your patience and your love and grace and peace and every good thing that comes our way. And Lord, now instill in us that desire and that heart response to you that can dispel the work of the enemy. You came to destroy the works of the devil. And we take that for ourselves today, Lord, that the enemy will not have any inroads.